lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Dermot Gavin, horticulturist, garden designer, Chelsea Gold Medal winner, is with me now. Dermot, good morning.
Morning.
Now, we're going to talk about a man called Bernard McMahon, of whom I had heard nothing until this moment.
I know. He's quite an incredible guy. Very little is known about his early years or where he came from, but he was born in this country in 1775. And like a lot of young, maybe progressive men at the and women at the time, he went off to seek his fame and fortune in America. But he was, even as he left, he was a dedicated gardener.
Now, 1775 he was born, 1776 is when America got its independence. So he was a very young man, and America was very young on his arrival.
America was really young. So at that stage, we're into about its third president. Jefferson has come in. And as with many of the early presidents, Jefferson was a gardener, but America was expanding at that stage. It was only less than half the size it is now, but around that time it was getting bigger.
And maybe the size it will be in a couple of years' time. Who knows?
It is really quite incredible, because I've been reading, you know, doing the research into this story. I've been reading into it, and at that stage, it was agreed that America would the new U.S. would buy large tracts of land from Napoleon, who had had this great ambition for northern states in America and western states in America.
He needed the money, though. So
he needed the money. And the money that he saw, $15 million is what, and this was all negotiated. So I hope the Greenlanders aren't listening. It was negotiated in a matter of weeks because he needed the money.
Now, when McMahon got to Philadelphia and he looked around at the gardens, and people then, as now, were proud of their gardens. They liked to plant things, but they were very similar to the gardens he left behind.
That's right.
Even though it was a completely different ecosystem.
That's right. They were very similar in terms of garden layout, in terms of garden design, but also in terms of the plants that were used. And indeed, many of the plants were coming over from the old world, were coming over from Europe. So Europe, French and British gardens were still massively influential. And people like Jefferson would have done these tours back to Europe, and they would have seen the grand estates and the grand gardens. They would have been guests in them, and they brought that idea as design and as the plants that were grown as kind of peak gardening back to America, and that's what people wanted.
So he set up shop, and he was selling seeds and plants and all of that, and produced the first ever seed catalogue.
So he was really quite amazing, because he recognised when he got over to America that America was a vast continent, and lots of different plants that he wouldn't have been familiar with back home in Ireland or in Europe would were available to him. People were only using the stuff that had come from America, but he began, even before later developments, he began to save the seeds and take cuttings, and he was an absolutely brilliant propagator. Not only was he a brilliant propagator, which means taking cuttings or sowing seeds or kind of matching plants and mixing plants to create more viable species, but he kept great records. His nursery became really renowned. It supplied, began to supply everybody, and he introduced the first seed catalogue.
And then, you know, this you've reproduced the front of his American Gardener's calendar, which would tell you what to plant at what time of the year and what would take and so on and so forth.
Because then he recognised, of course, that, you know, Europe had definite seasons. So we had spring, summer, autumn, winter. In the States and in places like Philadelphia, kind of spring is a few days, so you'd have a long winter, and then spring would be a few days, everything burst, and then all of a sudden you're into maybe long, hot summers. But he wanted a gardener's calendar to give advice, not only to recommend the plants to grow, but to give advice on how to grow them. So he produced this American garden calendar, and that became the Bible for gardeners right across
the States. Now, there was a very important expedition, the Lewis and Clark expedition. Tell me about that. Who organized it and what was their goal?
So America expands. It doubles in size kind of overnight. And Jefferson decides that he wants to chart what was out there, to understand what the new landscape of America was like, what they now owned. So he sent two lads, his private secretary and a friend, both ex-military men, out on an expedition right the way across America after the Louisiana land purchase. They went up the Missouri River, they crossed the Great Plains, crossed the Rocky Mountains, and reached the Pacific Ocean.
Not an easy thing to do in those days.
They were well, there was about 30, 35 of them. They were well equipped, well resourced, but very, very difficult to do. Remember, they were meeting new people all the time, finding new plants, new fish, new animals everywhere, sending examples of these all the way back to Jefferson as they went, meeting the native population along the way, taking part in all sorts of negotiations. And they were Lewis and Clark, and they did a really remarkable job and made notes by campfire every evening. They dried off their seeds that they were collecting. They tried to preserve plants by wrapping kind of cuttings in damp hessian and sending them back.
So where does McMahon then intersect with the Lewis and Clark expedition?
So Jefferson was really astute. He was a gardener in his own kind of estate in Virginia, but he had been using the services of McMahon for a long time at this stage. So he began to, once he began to receive all these cuttings and all these seeds and all these rooted plants, he began to disperse them, not only to scientific institutions, though, but to nurserymen, and the main person who got these
was Bernard McMahon,
because he was known for keeping such good records. So Jefferson reckoned that he could trust him.
So he actually saved probably a lot of these plants for...
He saved, he was interested. That was the main thing. He was interested in what they could do, and he saved, but he set up these beds where he would grow and observe them and understand what would grow in different parts of the country because he had developed this gardening calendar.
He is remembered in horticulture in a unique way.
In a unique way, because he had one of the plants that is used in many places around the world, not least in Ireland, named after him. So sometime after this, there was a guy called Nuttall who came along. He was a plant hunter, plant finder and a propagator. And he came across this plant, which he named Mahonia aquifolium after. So Mahonia comes from...
From McMahon.
Bernard
McMahon.
Yeah.
That's an extraordinary story. What kind of success did he have? I mean, did he end up with a mansion, living lavishly, or...?
He wasn't really interested in that. He died in the, I think, 1815, 1816, so he didn't last an awful lot longer than the expedition himself. But what really did last was his gardener's calendar, because that was reprinted for decades afterwards, and really became the Bible, not only for American horticulture, but it became that document that told Americans, don't only look to the plants that have come from Europe, look at what we have, the remarkable plants that we have on this continent ourselves.
And his principle, which was that plants are strongest in the places where they are happiest.
And we're really beginning to appreciate natives now, because we know that they will survive the weather conditions in different places. So the strongest will come from the place that they were kind of born.
Dermot Gavin, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.